Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
You're gonna have to work on your little advertisement with new vodka.
Why? Oh boy.
You do not sound happy, bro.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, Mark. Yeah. It's I love it. It's great, Mark. Very cool.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
What did you do to deserve that? Evan comes in, leaves, and plays that button. Man,
good question.
Oh,
exactly. No.
Hey, Mark. No.
I guess it was brought up on the morning show this morning, so it was available. Wow.
Is that why this new vodka spot is on the board? Now, you guys, I'll tell you what. Let me tell you something I've noticed.
Uh-oh.
You guys get a lot of content out of me in the mornings, don't you? Between the new vodka and the breakfast sandwich. Did you hear about the controversy?
No.
Oh, this was unreal this morning.
What happened?
It was big.
You got to tell. You got to pay
it
off.
Oh, I will. I will. I'm driving to work today, and I'm listening to the morning roast, and I hear Carter's wife, Sierra.
Uh-oh.
Sierra is his wife. Apparently, now, this is, I'm not saying it's not impressive. So she makes him breakfast.
Great. Just awesome.
Now, with all due respect, she makes it the night before. She's not waking up at 3:30, but she gives it to him and hugs him goodbye.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and everybody was like super, they were so impressed they had to get her on. So she called in.
Oh,
Sierra,
I missed it. I got to go back. Honestly,
wonderful woman, yeah. You can tell. Just full of love and exuberance.
Yep.
But the real question was asked and said, well, how long have you guys been married? Okay. She said 6 or 7 months. I'm like, well, okay. That's fine. She's making you sandwiches now, but talk to me in 2043.
But why be negative and look at it like
just
that? Celebrate the win of what she's doing now for her husband.
And I did. But what I'm saying is, and this is what I do, I give perspective. And I've known Susan for 40 years.
All right. That's a stretch.
Not consistent,
wow.
But we've known each other for 40 years. She sends me off to work every day with a breakfast sandwich. And we're over twice as old as Carter. So, Sierra, good start. Good start. Long way to go.
But like the weather, you know what you're doing, and you're the best at it. You're kind of raining on the parade.
I'm not raining on the parade. What I'm doing is celebrating Susan.
But, yeah.
But period.
Yeah. And there have been some days you didn't have that breakfast
sometimes,
sandwich.
Right.
And but you can tell.
Right. But she's, you know, she's at about 93%.
Look at
so
it.
I would say basically, 14 out of 15 days, she's good. And then
that is awesome.
One day she'll just be like, I'll look and it won't be sitting on the table.
Well,
there's usually a reason.
How come you haven't offered to get Susan on to heap praise upon her?
Over the years we've talked about it. She's just not ready to do that yet.
We had me on a few times.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Good for Carter.
No, for sure.
Thanks, Goo.
Yeah, no doubt.
Sierra's wonderful.
Hey.
Carter, I'm serious.
And they say breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
Yep. Hey, was that her debut? on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah.
Very
yeah,
solid. Very dope. Solid debut.
Good cadence.
My man. Oh, man. We got Jeff Jadeha. I'm sorry, Steve Weiss joining us first at 11 o'clock.
That's your NFL. Guy. You know him, right?
I know from way back. Yeah. Steve Weiss, NFL Network senior national reporter, joining us on joining us at 11 o'clock. He's doing the Rams-Jaguars. By the way, does anybody know offhand how many London Europe games are there this year that start at 6:30?
Man,
feels like
a lot.
Like, are we up to about 8 or 9 weeks? They may as well just do it 17
but
weeks.
But it feels like it's been 3 or 4. I love it now. Remember, I was like, why are you doing it? When you wake up and open your eyeballs and your bet's already in, you're like, give me the remote.
Yeah, see, I like it when it's tee off on a Sunday at like 7:30 and then it's 8:30 and you're like, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Check the scores. We got a game. It's already. And that's what I did Sunday. And sure enough, it was 11 to 10.
Yeah.
The Jets Broncos game.
Yeah.
It ended 13-11, but
Justin
it was 11.
Fields, ouch.
What? He threw for minus 10.
Dude, what does that do? Well, nobody's got him in fantasy, but that's nasty. Almost won, too.
Somebody does have Justin Fields, I thought.
We got a 16-team lead.
Stiney traded him.
Oh, that's
the GM of
him.
The year. I need a running back.
I got a good one.
Who?
Brian Robinson.
He don't get any carry. Like, I would have did that before.
But you know you should pick him up now because McCaffrey will get hurt.
Not if he ain't hurt now, man, dude's a warrior. He's a warrior.
I did a little chart on him. He's still logging a lot of touches.
But he's holding up.
Let's go to Jeff in Marin. Jeff wants to talk about Purdy and Mac Jones. Hey, Jeff, how you doing, man?
Good. Thanks for taking my call, guys. So quickly, Purdy is clearly a much better quarterback for Mac Jones. He's more athletic. He's got his toughness. Somebody's saying he's not tough. That's just goofy.
Yeah.
But here's a bigger problem that nobody seems to be addressing. I think Mac Jones has played well, but he is one injury away. We are one injury away from having Adrian Martinez come in as the quarterback. And I haven't seen any articles about this kid at all. Nobody seems to talk about what he looks like in practice or anything else. And in that regard, given that we're one injury away from him starting, this is not the time to be expending draft capital trying to pick up some pass rusher. And in that regard, if there was some real stud pass rusher out there, they wouldn't be up for trade, right? They're going to be playing somewhere. You don't find Nick Bosa's out there available. And so those are kind of my thoughts on it. But again, I'd sure like to know more about Adrian Martinez, because the way our team is going, it seems like it's only a matter of time. He's been back up in, 3 or 4 games now?
Yeah.
And have you guys heard anything about what he looks like in practice? Has he got a good arm? He's supposed to be mobile. I know he was MVP of, the UFL championship game, but there's been an absolute paucity, right? And I actually emailed both Matts, Mayoka and Barrow, saying, hey, what's up with him? What does he look like? What's your thinking? And I never heard back, and there doesn't seem to be any writings or videos about him. What do you guys know?
I know
his name's not Aaron.
Yeah, there you go. And I know he almost got on the field against the Rams a couple Thursdays ago. But other than that, Stoney, I don't know. And I'll tell you what, I'm using my dad's Norm's term. It's buzzard luck when you get to the third string quarterback, because that's not how you draw it up. You know what I mean? Yeah. So hopefully they don't get there. But he is right. I mean, that could have popped off in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Especially him getting hit, sacked 6 times.
Yeah, let's give credit to that last caller. First time I've ever heard the word paucity.
Oh, right.
On air.
Can you spell it?
P-A-U-C-I-T-Y?
Not a bad guess.
It means dearth.
You want to dumb that down more?
It means
light.
There's nothing there.
Yeah.
Like a rare. It's not enough. Not enough.
I gotcha.
There you go. By the way, Chris.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
McCaffrey, just some stuff. We're essentially a third of the way through the season, a little more, but for the sake of it, third of the way through the season, and right now McCaffrey's got 154 touches, which is 39 more than Jonathan Taylor.
Damn.
So if you extrapolate that, let's say, McCaffrey would have 50 more touches by the end of the year than Taylor. He's still on pace for 436 touches, which would be a career high, and it would be the most touches in an NFL season since 2014.
He's earning that chicken.
DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, man. And they ran him in the ground. It was a contract year knowing they weren't bringing him back. I mean, this league is cold, man.
It's awful.
It's awful. No, seriously, Evan, there's no morality in football, really.
There isn't.
Now, let me throw this to you and Evan and the listeners. You can't use Bosa. You can't use Warner. Who's the Niners MVP through six games? Because I got my answer. I'll let you go first.
I know who Evans is.
Now, why would you know that?
Because we've talked a little bit about it. I'll just be a little different because I think I know.
Okay.
It's Mac Jones.
Well, mine is
McCaffrey.
There's just no, like, you, Guru, he hadn't run for Evan. It's like without him, oh my gosh.
We're just going down the list of like touches, receptions. The guy has touched the ball nearly five times more than anybody else on the team.
But we understand kind of why, right?
That's what I'm saying. It's like,
and he's not hurt, Steiny. So, Evan, he gets the award just from that.
Would you like to know who has the second most receptions on the team right now? Because McCaffrey clearly has the most.
I'm going Bourne.
Tonjes.
Wow, Jake.
Jake Tonjes.
Yeah. Wow.
It's CMC.
Yeah, thank you, Evan. Yeah, see, it's not even close, really. Mac, I love you, but you'd miss two games because Purdy's your quarterback, though.
Yeah, but without Mac Jones, their season's shot, probably.
Do we know that?
I think so.
Want to see more of Martinez?
Like, what if he came in and just balled out?
Come on.
Brock Purdy did it. Let's keep it real.
Well,
Brock Purdy was Martinez.
I think it's Mac Jones.
Okay.
Just because he's keeping it afloat right now.
I'm not mad at that, but I think that's a slap in the face when you read those numbers from McCaffrey just on that standpoint.
Here's the one thing I think this is interesting. If I said to you, all right, give me a grade for McCaffrey this year.
A B? I'm going to give him a B.
And Evan said like a B+.
I wanted to
say, I revised it to an A.
Evan, I was about to revise it to an A. Like, dude, I worked a 225 yesterday.
Right.
You know, I did. I took one for the team, you know. This dude's catching the ball left and right. But and taking the pounding.
But don't you see
on that?
Don't you see the irony?
I got a couple thank yous.
Don't you see the inherent issue? And that is, if you're giving McCaffrey an A through six games, and yet their running game's been terrible. I get the rationale.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he shouldn't get an A, I'm saying is we're giving the running back an A, but the running game has been one of the worst aspects so far this season. Now, McCaffrey's made up for it by catching the ball.
It's got to get better, man.
So if I, you know, what I'm saying is you'd give McCaffrey an A, but the running game in general, you'd probably give it a C minus.
Okay, and to that point, just with the offensive line, I came in, and I wasn't throwing shade at Brindle, but there's a clip. There was a screen to McCaffrey. He was out there to block for McCaffrey, Steiny, and just whiffed. Olay, like the bull guys. What do you call the bull guys?
Matador.
Matador. I'm like, what are you? Didn't even touch the defender. And I'm like, come on, man. Brindle, you got to be better than that. And what did you follow up with? Stats.
What I followed up with was the 49ers allowed 16 pressures.
Okay.
Six by Pooney. Four by Trent Williams. So
and six sacks.
The strong part of your line was apparently not very good at protecting the quarterback. All right, let's go out to the... you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. And now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios, let's welcome in on the River Islands guest line, Steve Weish. Shouldn't you discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? He's an NFL Network senior national reporter, and he's going to be in London for the game Sunday between the Rams and the Jaguars. What's up, Steve? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I will not be in London on Sunday, but I will be doing work from our studio for game day preview.
And you know what? That's my mistake, buddy. Hey, let's talk about the Niners a little bit. And you know they've been banged up by injury. They're somehow 4-2, but they've lost their two best defensive players. How do you look at them over the next 11 games in terms of challenging to win the division or make the playoffs?
It's really tough, but you can't sit here and say, they're out of it because other teams could have injuries. Other players could step up. You do not replace Nick Bosa and Fred Warner. Mm. So this is where Robert Saleh's got to be creative with some of his pressures, coverages, things like that. Maybe they get active at the trade deadline. Who knows? All's not lost. They play fairly well on offense. They'll be getting George Kittle back soon. We'll see if at any point they get Brandon Ayuk back. But as long as they don't sustain another injury or two, that's the thing. They're on fragile ice in terms of just depth and overall talent. The talent right now, the coaching right now, and I think this kind of pedigree is gonna allow them to survive. And if they get healthier, improve. But they're just. They're really kind of at that breaking point in terms of they can't probably sustain another significant injury or two.
No doubt, Steve. Pleasure to have you. Last year, 6-11, a disappointing season, and a lot of that, Steve, as you know, was injury. Injuries were a part of it. They happen all over the league. But Steve, we're taking calls, and a lot of Niner fans feel like, why does this continuously, keep happening? From your vantage point, you covered the league a long time. Is this just, it happens everywhere? Or when you think of the last 2 years for the Niners and what's gone on just with Fred, do you look at this and scratch your head? Is like, man, this is different.
That's a great question, because years ago, the Chargers continually had injuries on their offensive line. I mean, every year, catastrophic injury, same position group. So there you can say, okay, are they training them a wrong way? Are they doing something, in their strength and conditioning the wrong way, because it's all one position group. Here it's scattered. Fred dislocated and broke an ankle. I mean, Bosa popped his Achilles, right? I'm forgetting his injury. But these are different injuries to different position groups, and I know they're on top of the sports science and things like that. So I just think it's Buzzard's luck. I just think it's one of these things where they've just got players, Christian McCaffrey last year with the calf. I just don't know. It's hard to pinpoint, when it's an ankle or a fracture or something like that, that's different than continued soft tissue injuries to the same spot, to the same position where you can look at training or diet or something like that. So I just think they just come upon Buzzard's luck for the past couple of years.
Mm, yeah, Steve Weish joining us on 95.7 The Game, NFL Network senior national reporter. What have you made of Mac Jones through four starts? He's 3-1. Purdy's got turf toe. I think it's obviously more serious than we thought earlier in the year. But he does seem to give him a little bit different dimension. But what have you seen from Mac Jones? And how would you play the Purdy-Mac Jones thing if Purdy says he's healthy?
Well, to answer your second question, later you put Brock Purdy in.
Yeah.
He's the guy you paid.
Sure.
Right? That's what it comes down to. I hate to make it that simple, but that's the guy you believe in. That's going to be your long-term answer. But in terms of Mac Jones, how can you not love, you know, how he's played? Yeah, he had the bad picks the last game, but he has shown so much heart. He clearly is not healthy. You know, that knee is bothering him. He's gutting through some stuff. But, you know, just the way he throws it, he's got a bigger arm. And just, you know, he's got similar moxie. I just think the fact he's come in and been more professional than I think a lot of people have expected in terms of just producing his attitude and the leadership. You know, that's an ideal backup situation with a guy who can start and win ball games. He's proven it.
Steve, it's kind of funny when, you know, sports and football, we take calls and everybody has a pair of eyes and they see something different. But Christian McCaffrey, you know, his health before the season started was a concern from the fan base. And this dude is on pace to get over 470 touches. He's not hurt, but he hadn't had, you know, that big long run. We've taken calls. Oh, he doesn't look like he's lost a step. I don't see that. When you watch McCaffrey and see him run behind somewhat of a disappointing O-line, what do you see?
I see a difference maker. I mean, I don't see him losing a step. I don't, you know, when he's catching that ball out screen games, I look what he did against the Rams. I mean, he looks like Christian McCaffrey to me. So I you know, yeah, he maybe hasn't hit that long run yet, but we're not seeing a lot of these explosive runs in the NFL now either. You know, you're seeing more and more teams just set their defenses back and trying to keep everything in front of them. We saw Bijan Robinson do his thing on Monday night.
Yes, sir.
For the Falcons, but it's not like Christian McCaffrey isn't capable of doing that.
Stephen, and we're joined by Steve Weish of the NFL Network, senior national reporter. How wide open do you think the NFL is right now? Mm. It feels like we don't know what to make of some of the teams that we thought were going to be maybe better than they've played the last few weeks. Do you see the NFL being wide open, or do you think it's more of a function of it's still the end of the early part of the season and things are going to start to shake out maybe like we expected?
I think it's both. I think it's both because it's absolutely wide open now because you have a team like the Ravens who really don't look like they're going to be able to rally. Maybe they will once Lamar comes back, but they've got some issues on their defense. You see the Bills, we think they're going to be back in it. They've got to fix some things on their defense because they've been tagged by a single receiver for more than 140 yards in back-to-back games.
Wow.
But the Chiefs look like they're coming around. Detroit's still going to be there. Green Bay is still going to be there. The Niners and Rams should be there if they stay healthy. Seattle, okay, can we start talking about
yeah.
them? I know we've done this before. They're there. That's a dangerous football team. Tampa Bay, a dangerous football team. But the fact that right now we can probably click off 15 or 16 teams, the Colts, right, who are in the mix, goes to show it's wide open. But as we know, once we get into late November, early December, that's going to all kind of funnel into a streamline of teams that are going to, you know, the cream rise to the top, so to speak.
Steve, it's kind of an unfair question, but I'm going to ask you anyway because you guys were talking about the deadline, and I'm looking at what's going on in Cincinnati, and they went out and got Flacco, but let's just say they fall off a bit. Do you expect a lot of movement and guys like Trey Henderson maybe, you know, available during the deadline?
I would think so. I would think so. If a team feels it's a pass rusher away and can absorb his salary at that point, I would think that Cincinnati would move him and teams would be interested. We've seen more and more teams kind of do that the past couple of years. Like, say, you know, baseball teams, and you hit the trade deadline, like, we're not going to make it, so we're going to sell. But I could see something like that happen. A team like Baltimore has already been at it, you know, making some trades. You know, they traded away a pass rusher to get a safety. So I think that it's going to be a pretty active trade market because of what we just discussed. Some teams feeling that they have a chance, and other teams maybe saying, you know what, we waited a year too late to get rid of some guys. They're too old. They're not helping us. Let's see if we can get anything in return.
Steve Weish joining us on 95.7 The Game, NFL Network senior reporter. Give me a couple things. We're a little over a third of the way through the season. Give me a couple things that have surprised you the most this year in the NFL.
One, I'm not surprised by Seattle winning. I'm surprised by them looking so crisp and doing so, the explosive pass game with Jackson Smith and Jigba. Not surprised by the Bucs winning, but, man, is Baker Mayfield making it look easy. Yeah. Right? We know Baker's got his last two offensive coordinators head coaching jobs, but it looks easy for him. Biggest surprise is clearly the Ravens just looking a disaster. Didn't see that one coming. Not surprised by the Chiefs rallying.
How about the Colts?
That's the biggest. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Who knew that Daniel Jones is going to come out and play well? Jonathan Taylor, absolutely killing it. Their schedule is about to get a little bit tougher, so we'll see if any of this is smoke and mirrors. But for them to be where they are, nobody saw that coming.
Yeah, Steve, that's my next question. I mean, Baker, that 3rd-and-15 run was phenomenal. You know, he was written off for dead, Mac Jones. You know, and I'm looking at a young Cam Ward in Tennessee, and their coach just got fired. But I'm watching Mac and what he's doing with Kyle. And now I've taken a couple steps back. Like, how important is that for these young quarterbacks to get with not a guru, but a guy that knows what he's doing? And I'm wondering now if there's a shift in regard to, you know what, quarterback A might not be as bad as we thought. We got to give him time.
1,000%. That's clearly what's going on. And it's not just with that young player being with a guy who knows what he's doing. It's being with an organization that's got a certain structure to it, right? We see Cleveland turning out quarterbacks like they're turning out, you know. Mm. And, of course, we've seen Baker, you know, go through that. So if you get with a certain organization where guys are like, oh, wow, this is how they do things in the NFL. It's not like where I used to be. It's a little different. That can change an attitude. That can change a player's perspective and be like, oh, okay, I get it now. And then they've got the support system around them. They've got a coach who can develop them. They've got players who can help them succeed. That's why some teams are hiring and firing coaches every 2 and 3 years and drafting in the top 5 and drafting quarterbacks. And other teams can sustain. They can develop. They can build. They can pay the players that they develop because they've got a formula that systematically works.
Steve, how does the league feel, and maybe front offices, how's the kickoff rule going over, do you think?
Well, I mean, you know, of course, the reason why they did is player safety, and that's been, you know, they've shown less concussions, less significant injuries in the kicking game on the kickoff returns. Overall, I think the fact that there are returns, and that's part of the game now, when we look like they were talking 4 or 5 years ago about eliminating kickoffs, I think that's been the biggest positive uptick, because now you do have special teams players. You have guys who can make rosters and earn a living in the kicking game, whereas if you were to eliminate that completely, you know, with the kickoffs and the returns, that changes how you build your rosters. So overall, I think it's been overwhelmingly positive. You haven't, and you can tell this because you haven't heard people speaking out against it. So
yeah.
So, yeah, it looked odd. It was a shift for us all, but so far it seems like it's gone well.
Yeah, my partner and I aren't – well, the one thing I'm not crazy about is it just seems like the initial line of scrimmage is awfully deep. You know what I mean? It feels like it's at the 35 to 40 as opposed to used to being between the 20 and 30.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. But isn't it kind of interesting now how teams have lost games because, like, the kicker doesn't have the initial ball drop into that kicking zone and they get the ball at the 40 and you're like, whoa, this changes things, right? You may go for it on fourth down for a certain, you know,
yeah.
So I just think some of the strategy we're seeing in the NFL now is so different from the conservative way, you know, hey, let's punt and live to see another day. Like, no, let's go for it. And if we don't see another day, hey, maybe we can make it back, because if we're returning a kickoff, we can get the ball at the 40 and we'll have 2 minutes to take it down the field. So there's all kind of interesting strategies now that we're seeing how football is taking shape.
Steve, you had mentioned the Niners obviously losing Bosa and Warner, and I think of an accomplished defensive coordinator who parlayed that job here last time he was here, Robert Saleh, to head coaching position, but now he's without those two. And you got, you know, Mykael Williams and the Upton Stouts of the world, a lot of 1 and 2 year players.
Yeah.
What are the expectations look like for Robert Saleh to make this defense bend but don't break? Or, as crazy as this sounds, Steve, Are there, you know, do you grade with a curve now because you're without those two stewards of your defense?
No one's going to grade with a curve. That just doesn't happen. I mean, at the end of the season, when all is said and done, you can say, well, okay, this is why this worked or this didn't. But right now, do you think Kyle Shanahan saying, well, you know, if our defense starts giving up 28 a game, it's okay? No, I mean, everyone's going to be expecting Robert Saleh to do his job, his staff to do its job, and the players to do their job. I mean, this is a sport. There's a reason why Nick Bosa is one of the best in the NFL, but whoever comes in behind him, you've got an opportunity now to make a name for yourself. We see guys do it every year. Maybe not at the level of someone as great as Nick Bosa does it or Fred Warner does it, but somebody who comes in and accomplishes certain things. So no one's going to be like, well, yeah, okay. Sure, if you lose a ball game, yeah, they're beat up. We all understand. But going into the games, no one's going to, you know, give you any grace, including, you know, your owner and everyone like that until the end result.
Steve Weiss joining us on 95.7 The Game. He's a senior national reporter for the NFL Network. Last one from me, Steve. You mentioned the Bills, and they've got some things to work on defensively. And the Ravens obviously are hurt, so they're in a little bit of trouble. Philly's gone through a little tough 2-3 week period. Which of those teams do you think has the biggest long-term issue, and which team's got an issue that you think can be rectified the easiest?
Well, I mean, I think Buffalo and Philly can rectify things pretty easy. I mean, okay. they're pretty solid franchises. They're just still trying to figure out some identity stuff. Even though they've got some holes, I think the Ravens are really, man, I
in
mean,
trouble.
They're in a tough spot, yeah. Because even when they were healthy, they were playing terribly on defense. And that's kind of a 2-year thing. They fixed it in the back half of last season, but it's shown itself, you know, already this year in bad ways. So those are teams I look at. I'm not worried about Buffalo. I'm not worried, you know, about Philadelphia. They've got some issues, but I think those are, you know, the Chiefs, you see them kind of rallying. So those are some teams I think will get it back.
Steve, I'll get you out of here on this one. Last night, you know, I was shocked about Atlanta beating Buffalo, but not as shocked as, you know, people not giving the Bears Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, who's been the butt of a bunch of jokes. But do you think Chicago, with that win last night, and Caleb and Ben have something going at 3-2?
They do. I mean, and you can see them steadily building. Remember, early on, people were like, oh, this is a bad fit. Caleb this, Ben Johnson that. It's going to take time. That's a difficult offensive system to learn. And defensively, you're seeing Dennis Allen, those guys, the way they played. Now, look, Washington should have won that game. We can talk about the fumble. I think more of the missed tackle on the DeAndre Swift 55-yard touchdown. That was a poor effort. But Chicago's going to be, you know, I like the way they're playing. They're 3-2 now. I think Caleb Williams is so uber talented that once he starts to really get into his groove, he could become one of the better quarterbacks of this great class from last year with Drake May and everybody doing their thing. I think Chicago should be real optimistic to go to Washington and get a win regardless of how they got it.
All right, Steve, we'll be checking
you
out on Sunday morning on the NFL Network. Good ball game. You guys are going to have Rams-Jaguars. By the way, how long do you think it's going to be before we have a weekly game? At 6:30 in the morning, coming from overseas,
probably just a couple years.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see international games. I know they've talked about up to a 16-game slate. I think that's going to be coming the next couple years once all these TV deals start getting finalized.
Yeah, I don't know how it is for you, but I think football fans love this 6:30 game.
I'm real good with it. I love it.
All right, man. Have a great day on Sunday. You got a good one to be a part of, man.
Take care.
All right. That's Steve Weiss, NFL Network senior reporter, and you can check him out Sunday morning at 6:30. Rams-Jaguars, good ball game.
Yeah, and Niners rooting for the Jags, obviously, but that won't be easy. But, Stan, I got to tell you, we're six weeks in, and we got a version of a quarterback who we thought was booty in regard to Mac Jones, and now he looks the part under Kyle Shanahan, but it's just littered around the league right now. Dudes that we thought were duds, you know, got action.
Yeah. By the way, the Rams-Jaguars from London airs Sunday at 6:30 in the morning, and it's exclusively on the NFL Network. It's available to stream across devices with NFL+. So we thank Steve Weiss for his time today. Very generous.
He won't be in. He won't be there. He'll be in.
No, he'll be in the studios. And as always, Sports Talk on 95.7 The Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. 49ers Falcons on Sunday night from Levi Stadium, and it's all about just trying to get to 5-2, as you would like to say, by any means necessary.
Yeah, and it's Tuesday, and I keep going to this. I know you don't have the medicals, but you're assuming and you think right now that most 99% is Mac Jones, huh?
I feel like he's probably going to start.
Okay, all right.
But
and it's not that I'm done watching him. I just want to see Brock now. You know what I mean? I got my Mac Jones fix. Now I want to see Brock to compare and contrast. And I'm not saying his job is in jeopardy, but I want to see if Brock can keep that connection going with Kendrick Bourne. And if there is no Pearsall, you think you got a good chance? And, you know, the impact that Kittle will have, hopefully, in this run game, Stoney.
Yeah, and obviously the 49ers are going to have to do it without Fred Warner and without Nick Bosa. We're talking about how aggressive the 49ers should be to try to bolster their defense or perhaps their offensive line. We're six games into the year. Do you want them to go do something right now to bolster this team? Or do you want to take a couple more games to maybe get a better feel for what this team realistically is?
That's where I'm at. You know, I have to, man.
Yeah, I mean, they could be, you know, after the trade deadline's on the 4th of November, so there's three games there. So I'm willing to see if they're a 4-5 team, a 5-4 team, a 6-3 team, or even better than that at that point. And then I think I'd feel like I'd have more information to make a decision about whether we should even go for it or not.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this, Steve, he didn't want to hear anything on the grade on the curve, huh?
No.
In regard, because Ross Tucker said it to us a couple weeks ago, Stoney, how good is Robert Saleh? I'm paraphrasing. Get back to me, you know, when he has to devise a defense without Bosa, and now he has to do that without Warner. But damn, Stoney, that's got to be – they're going to show up, they're going to play. They did that the second half, or damn near the whole game without Fred, but – that's a big ask, man, not to get gashed, you know, like you did last year. And you got Robinson coming in here, London. I mean, Atlanta's no, they're over 500, you know?
Yeah, and obviously, 49ers lose Fred Warner. It's a big loss. Kyle Shanahan was asked yesterday. We had heard about Fred Warner addressing the team after his injury. Shanahan expanded on that yesterday. And he was asked about what Fred Warner said to the team, because he's not going to be playing the rest of the year.
I've seen guys do it before. It's not something you ever ask a guy to do or anything like that. You never know where guys are with injuries and stuff. Sometimes they can't even function at that point, depending on when it happened in the game. But it was cool to have Fred come out and do that, asked to do it. And he was in a good place. I mean, guys are hurting for him big time. Not only is it impressive of a football player I've ever been around, but it's impressive of a human as I've ever been around. And the foundation and base he has just as a man and how he lives his life. I mean, you guys read his quotes and stuff and how he's looking at this. And that's as real as can be when you hear how he speaks. And that's why we know he'll come back next year stronger than ever.
Yeah, we talked about it. And I read it to you and Evan, an emotional post on IG, giving thanks to God. And God put him in this position for a reason. He'll bounce back. And he spoke to his team, so... Man, I was just, again, Stoney, I keep talking about that 4th-and-6. Like, I thought that was going to be the Fred Warner game, and somehow they could have pulled that off against Tampa.
Yeah, this from the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line, and I may go to you or Evan for the details on this, but it says, why haven't you talked about Brandon Ayuk erasing the Niners on his Instagram? Apparently that he hasn't done that.
And what's
it
the word,
it Evan? Was reported, but that's not the case.
What do you call the word that I always send on the thread? You're like, Guru, you got some websites from Russia.
Oh, Centel.com?
No, yeah, I got duped. Yeah. My boy Reg V always said.
You got schnookered.
We call it duped.
I call it schnookered. I think more people relate to that.
But duped is...
Yeah, you got both.
It's more street.
They're both embarrassing.
Yeah, right.
You don't want to be schnookered or duped.
Yeah. The young lady apologized. She said she got duped.
I was like, how could he be mad and he's rehabbing? They're waiting on him, you know? Checks clearing.
It
was false.
We should talk about him a little bit, yeah. Brandon Ayuk.
Think he's coming back?
Well, they said, week 10 is, I don't know if it's a target. They didn't want to put a timetable on it.
Right.
But Shanahan also at the same time mentioned week 10, which is obviously a month or so away.
Yeah.
And was thinking that could be the day. We'll see. They got to get other guys healthy before Brandon Ayuk comes back. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. And do you want the 49ers right now to be aggressive? They're 4-2. We know they're decimated defensively. Their two best defenders are not playing. Do you want them to be aggressive right now, or do you want to maybe sit tight? Being aggressive would mean putting those future draft picks in play. Are we ready to do that right now? 888-957-9570. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. This Sunday night, the kickoff show with Lorenzo Neal and Evan Giddings is going to be live from Laughing Monk in Sunnyvale starting at 3 o'clock. They'll have all the early games on, and the beer garden will be open with a DJ and bartender serving Gold Bar whiskey specials. If you're going to the game, you can sign up for the free shuttle to the stadium right now. First come, first served. So go to the Eventbrite page on our website, 957thegame.com, and sign up now. That's 957thegame.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell Stephen A. I said hello, damn it.
I'm not going to do that.
You know, we're all going through something.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
What does that mean that I could listen to drops from this station from anybody and laugh?
None harmful.
I could just be in a living room, just play it. And I just,
you know, you're one of those guys that laughs at everything.
Perhaps.
Seriously, Steiny, I'm trying to cut down the laughing on it. Seriously.
Why?
I got the hyena to. It's just too much. I hear myself sometimes. I'm like, dude, take a playoff. But are we gonna bury the lead on the Steve Wash interview?
Oh,
is that a great question?
Oh yeah,
yeah. Put one up for the Gipper.
You know what? Do we have it? Because not yet. All right.
Now, why would you see? I don't like when you guys do stuff
no,
like that.
No, I'm being dead
serious.
It's
like Daryl got a C plus on the test.
No.
I don't like that.
This is a sincere one. I heard him say, "Great question." And I was.
This is like Carter's wife.
I was thinking about my next question, and so I really didn't hear word for word. Yeah. But I was happy for you.
I don't care about all my questions.
Well, you're happy about it.
I don't need to host it because It was I mean, Willard and Dibbs start their show. We need a new show open.
It was a great question. Let's revisit it right here and right now.
From your vantage point, you covered the league a long time. Is this just, hey, it happens everywhere? Or when you think of the last 2 years for the Niners and what's gone on just with Fred, do you look at this and scratch your head? It's like, man, this is different.
That's a great question.
Yeah. Heaven is I.
And you know why it was a great question?
I trimmed it down.
You know why it was a great question? Brevity.
Boy, my man breaking out the dictionary today. Brevity.
You kept it short and you left it a little open-ended so that he couldn't just say, yeah, no, I think so.
That's a great question.
Oh, that's my guy.
That was sincere. I know Steve Wyche.
Well, you didn't know he wasn't going to be in London. You know, I had to double back to
that's
that.
That's not like I should have. See, this is what happens when I don't set.
I got shades of Kevin McHale when we had him all years ago.
But you notice that was my fault because the intro just has Rams Jaguars from London airs Sunday at 6:30. He'll be, on NFL Network. He'll be in LA.
Yeah. And Austin and San Jose, you can't come between us. We've been together 8 years. First time he said he's heard you refer to me as your partner. You've called me that many a times.
Thank you.
Yeah. He's just mad the Commanders lost. Dude, two upsets. Or it's the NFL. There's no other goo. Come on.
I mean, the Commanders kind of owed the Bears after last year.
That is true. Boy.
And Josh Allen.
Bears owed the.
Yeah, all the way around.
Yeah. And Josh Allen has this glazed look. I don't like it. Like, they're asking him to do too much now. Run around, do the whole parking lot, and just heave it like Hercules. Like, Stoney, I'm just saying, man.
Yeah, we're talking. Brian Baldinger was on with the Morning Roast today earlier, and he was asked about, should the 49ers be aggressive in the wake of these injuries, particularly to Bosa and Fred Warner on defense, with where they are at the season? How should they play it?
Trade deadline is coming up. I mean, if they want to be competitive, they got to make a move. They have to make – if they sit and just say, we're going to develop our young guys, we're sitting tight. Like that, I don't know. Like, if I'm John Lynch, you got to make a move. You might have to eat some salary. You got to move some guys around, extend – whatever you got to do. Like, they've got to make a move right now.
Well, is there
typically what you do is you raid good players from bad teams, whether it's Trey Hendrickson, whatever. Like, I feel like they've got to be aggressive at this point to really stay in this game right now.
Wow.
He
said just to be competitive.
Get it. Well, that's the thing. And this is where I always defer to, I always feel like the coaches of their own teams, when they're behind closed doors, they know how good they are, how lousy they are.
Yeah. No, they do.
And I just wonder if the 49ers right now feel like if we don't do anything, we're not going to be competitive. And then my question would be, well, how come you think that? You should be getting some offensive players back. I think that's too aggressive for my take to do something immediately.
Okay.
But that's just me. Right. Baldy certainly knows what he's talking about.
And we love him. But I'll say this to that, though, Stoney. When that day does come, I just hate the fact that other teams will have their Bosa and will have their Fred Warner and may feel like they're closer than the Niners. And why I bring that up is they'll be more willing to spend, you know, stuff to get a guy like Henderson as opposed to the Niners. Because you're right, Stoney, the million-dollar question is, and maybe it's the results of these next 2 to 3 weeks. Where are we at, and do we believe where we're at? Because remember a couple days ago, last week, Kyle talked about the 4-1, but he brought up to Kawakami, well, compared it to years past, we don't have a Super Bowl defense. And I said, oh, this guy's not drunk on the 4-1. He's keeping it real. Couple bounces, couple plays. Maybe we're 2-2 or 1-4, 2-3.
Here's the other reason I don't do anything right now is because I do think if you're in the 49ers front office, I think you have to allow that for that maybe this thing is going to go downhill. And here's the reality. You lose your next 3 games, you're 4-5, you might decide to sell.
Yeah,
You might decide to be one of those teams who might give up one of their veterans or two of their veterans for draft picks. Mm. Like, I think that's still on the table.
Wow.
Not that I want that or that I think it's going to happen, but I just think you got to allow for that. And that's why I wouldn't make a move, right? I'd hate to make a move now, give up draft capital, and then realize the guy you brought in doesn't make a big enough difference.
I think that would be dumb, man. I really do with this. And I'm proud of myself because normally I'm going to go all in. It's this year. But now I'm thinking like, and I guess maybe I'm just looking at the status of the O-line, Trent Williams included. Stoney, if this doesn't get better when Kittle comes back, and it's not even fair to George, but I'm just looking at this thing like they don't just need one lineman. They need a few. And, you know, can do that free agency, the draft, but man.
And here's the problem. The problem right now with the offensive line is ostensibly your two best offensive linemen aren't playing like your two best offensive linemen. Even Shanahan was talking a little bit about Pooney yesterday, and here's what he said.
Yeah, I think Dom has played better before, in his rookie year. I think there was a big injury coming into this season, which was a huge setback for him and has made things more difficult. I'm sure that hasn't made things easier for him, but a lot of guys are battling stuff, and I got a lot of confidence in Dom. He's played at a high level for us before, so I expect him to do it again.
So there it is. I mean, is the 49ers offensive line as bad as it appears, or is Pooney on his way back from an injury that set him back? But what I'm hearing is that it sounds to me like neither Pooney or Williams is having a real good year.
Right. And to Evan's point in the green room before the show, and I got to chalk one up for him, Stoney, he was saying, you know, the Niners have won before and their O-line has not really been like super dominant. So is it just like, and I'm using an NBA term, you know, Steph Curry off to a shooting slump, and then we watch that get fixed because he hits shots.
Right.
What does that look like for our O-line or 6 weeks in, Stoney? Is the reality is this is who you are.
Maybe it gets better. You know, it just improves when Kittle comes back. Maybe Pooney isn't at 100% and he gets healthy. So, I mean, there's no doubt the offensive line can play better, right?
Yeah, no,
they don't have any new faces there for the most part. So I guess you gotta hope that they're just going to play better and start to resemble who they were. But the question we're asking right now is where the 49ers sit. Do you want to see them be aggressive and make a move to try to keep them in this thing? Or are you saying, no, not right now, hands off future future draft picks? Brian Baldinger said they got to get aggressive. I'm not.
Just to compete.
I'm not ready to say that. Are you ready to say that if they don't make a move, they can't compete? 888-957-9570. We'll get to some calls on the other side. And don't forget, at 1 o'clock, Jeff Chadiha is going to join us. He's another senior writer for NFL.com, and he also works as on-air talent for the NFL Network. Jeff Chadiha going to join us at 1. Hey, head on over to YouTube and Twitch to see myself and Guru by searching 957, and while you're there, download and subscribe for all our great content at 957 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.